And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Monday, August the 14th, 2017, 1:11 coming up on 1:12 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. You're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you today with Terry Tackett and 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, talking recipes. But I do want to give a plug here because I just got the confirmation. We all know what happened over the weekend in Virginia, and tomorrow at 1:10 on this program, we will be joined by Jared Taylor. He was on the program once before, about a year ago. Jared Taylor is the founder and editor of the American Renaissance, a magazine often described as a white supremacist publication. And Jared Taylor is an American white nationalist. So that's tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Tune in for that one. Recipes to the
Let's get back to recipes.
Take a break from all the news.
That's right.
Aside from all that, we would be remiss if I didn't ask Mary Ellen, what did you think of the weekend's events?
Oh my heavens, it was horrible. Mm-hmm. It was just horrible. I can't believe what's happening.
Did you think in 2017 we would still be having these problems?
No, I think we're reverting back to the bad times.
Did you think the president's statement was strong enough?
No.
Yeah.
And no, he just doesn't come across. I don't know. I don't know where his head is sometimes. I'm scared to death he's going to keep on picking on North Korea to the point that they're going to do something. And he's just like antagonizing them, you know.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what is going on.
Well, he's trying to get the thoughts away from the Russian hacking. I think he's worried about what's going to come out there, and he tries to make us think about other things.
Well, that's true. I think it's maybe a diversionary tactic, but the Republicans, of course the Democrats came out against him over the weekend, but boy, the Republicans too. Marco Rubio and
they should.
Jeb Bush. Yeah. Was this a tipping point for you, for him? Do you
no,
think?
My tipping point was a long time ago.
Do you think this has tipped the Republicans?
Well, it sounds like they're starting to realize what they've got on their hands. I'm telling you, they're ruining their party. They had a good party. I mean, you have to have two strong political parties to have a healthy country. And they're just destroying their party. It started out with the Tea Party situation, and it's just gone from bad to worse.
And do you have any thoughts on the Russian probe, now that there's a grand jury, I think, last time we spoke?
Yeah, I think that we just wait and see what happens there. But it's a sad situation for us, really and truly, that he doesn't recognize what Russia is trying to do to us, and he stands up for Russia, he stands up for the white supremacists, and he stands up for everything that's wrong.
You know, it's interesting. Last week we found out that Hillary Clinton's book will be coming out September 14th, I think, and we thought it was going to be essays about positive things and just a little bit about why she lost the election. Well, the title of the book was released last week, and it's What Happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like this book is going to be more about...
Like a tell-all.
Yeah, the loss of the... And apparently, I had Eleanor Cliff on last Monday from the Daily Beast, and she told me there's supposed to be some revelation in this book.
Some what?
Some kind of revelation.
Really?
Yeah, some kind of big secret bomb or something.
Oh, really? Well, I tell you, you know, losing an election like she did, I can't imagine the very sad part of that for her, because it would be awful. And, you know, everybody that loses an election goes through a depression. It's very hard on people.
You know, I keep my eye, though, on Hillary Clinton and John Kasich, because I believe they both are contemplating running again.
Oh, I think you could be right on that. You know, I think John Kasich is.
Well, yeah, I think he's almost bought the pony for running again. But Hillary, I think she's writing a book. She's out there trying to get people elected.
Yeah.
I think because truly in her heart, she feels that this was stolen. I think if she was defeated by the popular vote, and there were no Russians, and there was no FBI, I think she would go away. I think she would say, well, I gave it 2 shots, and that's enough. But I think with all this baloney that we're finding out, I think she's saying, hey, wait a second.
Well, it would really make you feel worse every time you heard about something that, you know, something else. And that's, I think that's what's going on with her. But I don't know. It's... I think there's a lot of good people out there that could run, and I would like to see some new blood.
I just, there's something about Hillary Clinton, to me, that she, I think this is unfinished business for her.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, if she had lost on the fair,
mm-hmm.
I think she would have been okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if Donald Trump, I always say this is my prediction, it's not that she's going to run again yet, but if book sales are good, that people want to know what happened, and if Donald Trump gets impeached or resigns, I think she'll run again. Because I think the headline will be, Putin conspires with Trump to defeat Hillary. Because the story here is fascinating, because they didn't want to hurt America. That's not why they conspired. Putin was not interested in hurting America. He was interested in gaining stuff for himself. And that's why he didn't want her in charge. It seems like all this Russian entanglement wasn't to hurt America. It was to keep Hillary Clinton from that office. He didn't like her.
Well, I totally agree with you.
You don't think so?
No, I think what he was trying to do was to make the United States look weak. He's trying to make us look weak so that he can look stronger.
I think that, yeah, I agree. I think that's where he's going, that he can infiltrate us. But I think his goal was to not have Hillary Clinton elected.
Yeah, I think that was his goal.
Yeah.
But in the process, I mean, he's got us divided up like you wouldn't believe.
Well, and why is there that divide? I can't figure it out.
It's because of the direction of our president.
Right, but to me, Russian collusion is not a political, shouldn't be a partisan issue. Whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, I would think you would be against Russian collusion no matter who you were.
You would think so, that's right.
But it's divided us.
It has,
and
yes.
That I don't understand. Why is anybody, because you hear it all the time, you hear, well, just let's get through this Russian thing. So Donald Trump can be president. Well, don't we want to know if they colluded?
Yeah. I sure want to know.
Right. And he did have this hatred mm-hmm. for Hillary Clinton.
Oh, he did, yeah. Well, you know, he dislikes people temporarily, and then, you know, tomorrow you don't know, you know.
Do you think if the candidate had been Joe Biden, that Putin would have worked against him?
Oh, probably, yeah. I don't think Joe Biden would have won. I really don't.
Everybody says he would have. You don't think so?
I don't think so, no. I think he thinks he would have won.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, he would have had the same problem as... He didn't have the email problem, but he would have had the same problem with the Russians that she had.
Well, what I don't understand is why... You know, Joe Biden is leaving the door open to run.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders is leaving the door open.
Oh, good grief, yes. Honestly. Yeah.
Well.
Oh, tell us how you really feel.
Well, I guess we know.
Yeah.
I guess we know where that one goes.
Strike that one from the...
I am so tired of him. You know, I think he thinks he's going to run, and that's a mistake.
What's he going to be age-wise?
110.
Just shy a few months of 110. No, I think he'd be 78.
78.
Okay. And I think Joe Biden is 1 year younger, 77. So why wouldn't Hillary's younger than all these guys?
Well, not much.
No, but younger than Donald Trump?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she'll make a run for it. I really do. Because she doesn't say no. And that's odd to me. Because mm-hmm. if you are a former first lady, and you are a former secretary of state, and you are a former senator, and you have run two elections and not one. Wouldn't you just, if you weren't going to run, wouldn't you just tell people that, forget it, I'm never running again, I'm going to help the Democrats, I'm going to be what I am, but I'll never run again. But she doesn't say that. She says, I don't think I'd ever run for public, but she said the same thing 4 years ago.
You know, every time I've tried to guess what she's going to do, I guess wrong. No kidding. So maybe I'm wrong again, but I think I'm going to correct you a little bit. I think she feels that both times it was stolen. I think she feels that Obama stole it from her, and I think she feels that Trump stole it from her.
Well, when people say she lost two elections, I don't consider the loss to Obama the loss of an election.
Yes, it was.
You think?
Yes, she felt she had the right. And that's what happens in politics. You think, well, now it's my turn. And when you get to feeling like that and somebody beats you, you don't get over it very easily.
Oh, no, I don't think she got over it. Do you think they're friendly?
Who?
Barack and Hillary.
Well, I thought they were, yeah.
I mean, during the election, that primary, they were not very friendly with each other.
No. Who really knows? You know, it's one of those things that you just can't put your finger on. Yeah.
You know, there was some discussion of her Wellesley college speech, which put her on the map back in the
60s. Yeah, right.
And have you ever read the speech?
Yeah.
I went back and read it, and there's a line in there from T.S. Eliot, and it says, there's only the winning, or there's only the trying. There's only the trying again and again and again to win again what we've lost before.
Oh.
I think she runs again.
Yeah, but that gives me a chill right there.
That's her line.
Yeah.
That's her line. I think, and everybody at Wellesley said they thought she was going to be, even in 69, thought she was going to be the first female president. Mm-hmm. I don't think that she wants to sit at home with Bill for the rest of her life. I don't think that she wants to be somebody working from the outside. I think she is what they said she is. I think, you know, and remember in the election, people kept saying in the Democratic Party, they kept saying, some people are show horses and she's a workhorse.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that.
I believe that too.
And I believe she's not going to be satisfied.
She really puts her heart and soul into whatever she's doing.
I mean, yeah. And I don't believe she's going to be satisfied to work outside the system. Mm-hmm. Because what you can make change from without, but you can certainly make a lot more changes from within.
Yeah.
And she's not, she'll only be 73. She doesn't have to run for two terms if she doesn't want to. And I just think her goal in life since Wellesley has been to be the first female president.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think, could you, if you had ran an election and you found out later on that there were so many anomalies, a Comey letter, Russian collusion,
yeah.
Could you live the rest of your life knowing that that's why you lost that election and not try again?
You know, when I lost the clerk of courts race, the prime thing in my whole life was to defeat her, the person I ran against.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the way I felt, and I suppose maybe that's the way she feels.
I just, yeah. She was out so quick,
yeah.
against him,
mm-hmm.
and she, Bill is not even out against him that much.
No, he's been very quiet.
He's been quiet. Yeah. President Obama's been pretty quiet.
Oh, my, yes, he has.
Michelle Obama's been mm-hmm. quiet. But who's Hillary Clinton? Here she is again. And mm-hmm. I just think she has a deep-rooted dislike for Donald Trump. And I believe she will try everything in her power to make sure that he does not stay in that seat. And I do think she wants her shot.
Well, I don't think he's going to be there for 4 years. I really don't.
I'm starting to wonder. The evidence is piling up.
Yeah, it is. It's when Congress turns against him, he can hang it up. And they're starting, you know.
What does he can't be this naive, can he? Somebody in that office has to say, boy, you're making a mistake here.
Well, he won't listen to anybody. You know what happened to Kelly? He's been real quiet. And the poor guy hasn't probably been able to get a word in edgewise, you know.
It's a weird White House, but do you think Kasich could beat? Pence will be there. Do you think Kasich could beat Pence in a primary?
I don't know. Pence has got a lot of garbage from this, you know. He's carrying a lot. He said some things that weren't true because they were told to him, and, you know, and so therefore he's made some statements that can be used against him. I don't know. It's going to be quite a time. There's going to be a lot of Democrats, I'm sure. I just don't know about Hillary, though.
I right now I'm not sure, but I think if Trump goes, I think they would have a hard time installing Pence as president, even though that is the order of secession. I think that'd be very difficult, considering he was the head of the transition team, and how could he not know anything about what was going on in that White House?
Yeah.
And then you got to look at the Speaker of the House, and we have never in this country went down to the Speaker of the House. I really do believe that, and people don't believe it, but, you know, I used to think that some things were crazy to say, but anything can happen anymore. I believe that if Trump resigns or is impeached, I believe Pence will go with him. Because personally, Pence has already got a lawyer. I think he's being investigated, too, at the same time.
Do you remember when Agnew got put out?
I do.
How old were you when that happened?
Young.
You were in school,
yeah,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, but I remember it.
Yeah. You know, that was, he went first, and then, of course, Nixon went. But, yeah, well, We'll have to get back to the recipes here, Scott.
Yeah, we will. We got away from it there for a second, but the prediction in the end if Trump and Pence go, I think that they will try to install Hillary. I think people riot in the streets now for anything.
Oh, they do.
But I think if the Democrats and the 3 million more people that voted for her find out that she really did win the election, I think they would riot. And I think Congress would, they can redo elections. I mean, there's no law that says you can't do that.
Yeah.
And if one of your people is under indictment, I think she would win. But that's that, and that's the 2 cents for that. But we're going to get back to the recipes now. But I think her book, do you think her book will sell well?
Oh, yeah.
I think it will.
Oh, yeah. How much is she getting for her book?
Oh, I don't know what I forget what the,
yeah,
but it was a big number.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
And
it should be. Sure.
Her last book didn't sell well, though. The one about her being Secretary of State did not sell as well as they thought it would.
I didn't even, I wasn't aware of that one.
Yeah, she wrote, everything was called Hard Choices.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know about it, I guess.
But we are here today for recipes that Mary Ellen, throughout her career, gave to people. And we've been having a lot of fun with this. Just got off on a little sidebar there. Now, the recipe I'm looking at here is chocolate icebox cake.
Oh, that is really good. And, you know, that was from a friend of mine. Just about everybody knows Merle Lacy and Lenny Lacy, who's no longer alive, but that was their recipe, and I just love that recipe.
Now, here's the chocolate icebox cake. You take 1 pound sweet chocolate or 2 large Hershey bars, 1 dozen ladyfingers. Now, what are ladyfingers?
Well, they're packaged in the bakery section. They're, you know, they're oval, elongated oval, like a cookie.
Almost like the zingers, almost,
yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. Okay, the cookie. Okay.
And they're hard to find sometimes, but yet they're easier to find now than they were a couple years ago. Yeah.
Okay.
So you need 1 dozen ladyfingers, 6 eggs, 1 1/2 tablespoons of sugar, and 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla. You melt the chocolate on the top of the double boiler.
Yeah.
Okay. Add egg yolks, one at a time. Remove from fire. Add egg whites, stiffly beaten, with sugar and vanilla in the bowl. Line the bowl with the ladyfingers and add chocolate mixture. Keep in refrigerator at least a day before serving. Now, why a day?
Well, it needs to set a while, the lady fingers and everything. But you want, I always get the Hershey bars with the almonds in them.
To do this one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is the taste of this like?
Oh, it's the most wonderful flavor you can imagine. You know how Hershey bars taste. It is really good, yeah.
It sounds like a good cake.
It's more like a pudding.
Is it? Yeah, it comes in a bowl. So you would you would dip it out with a spoon rather than, than doing it. Now, Terry, what did you have on your list over there?
Well, it's the same with the holidays coming. I always like a good homemade cheese ball. Mary Ellen has a great recipe here for a homemade cheese ball. It's 4 packages of cream cheese, 8-ounce size, two jars of cheese spread, cheddar variety, 1.5 tablespoons of of dried onion, soak in water to soften, drain, and mix with cheese. Add chopped ham, Worcestershire sauce to taste. Roll in minced ham or a combination of ham and shredded cheese.
Hmm. Sounds very good.
A favorite Withrow party recipe, both Linda and Leslie like to have this ready for the holidays. It says, note, Ohio Swiss found Ohio Swiss found almost exclusively in Holmes County is an excellent choice for this recipe.
Hmm.
I've got a ham ball recipe here that I'd like to give.
Go right ahead.
Yeah. It's a pound of lean pork ground and 1.5 pound ham ground, which, you know, it's hard to find ground ham. They don't do it anymore around here. But anyway, that's what this calls for.
I wonder if that's something you could request them to do for it. Would they?
Well, they don't want to do it. I've requested it, and you know, they have to wash all their equipment after they do it, and they just don't.
Okay.
Even around Easter, when you'd think they'd be doing it. But anyway, then 1 egg, 1 cup of milk, and 1 cup breadcrumbs. And then what you put on top, you bake it. You make balls. I made ham balls and out of it, and individual balls. And you make this mixture to pour over it. It's 3/4 cup brown sugar, 1/2 cup vinegar, 1/2 cup water, and 1 tablespoon mustard. And you bake for 2 hours and keep marinating it with the sauce, and so it's at 2 hours at 350.
And that's a ham ball.
Sounds good.
And I made them pretty good sized, you know, like a little loaf almost.
Well, it sounds very good. I know a lot of people prefer ham to turkey at the holiday time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you always want to have something good for people. And that's a little different than just going out and buying the ham, the typical ham that people would get. Now, one that I like in here is, because everybody loves potatoes, crusty oven potatoes.
Oh, that sounds good, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This would be 6 cooked potatoes, 1/2 a cup of melted butter, 1/3 a cup of onions diced, 1/4 cup of green peppers diced, 1 teaspoon of pimento, 3/4 cup of seasoned breadcrumbs, and salt and pepper. You saute the onion and green pepper in 1/2 cup butter until tender. Combine with potatoes in a greased baking dish. Crush breadcrumbs and add remaining butter into the potatoes. Bake at 350 degrees for 40 minutes. Put a part of the breadcrumbs may be sprinkled on top after it comes out of the oven. Now, that's more of a casserole type of potato.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every meal now has potatoes in some way. A baked potato, mashed potatoes, scallop potatoes, cheesy potatoes.
Yeah.
Everybody loves the potato. Why does everybody eat macaroni and cheese now?
Well, I don't eat it very much.
Me either. I don't have that either.
No.
Are you a fan of the macaroni and cheese, Terry? You are?
Yeah.
But that's a popular dish with people. Everybody's always having macaroni and cheese.
I prefer the baked macaroni. I like it baked.
Well, what I used to do, and I don't even like it, but what I used to take when I was not having the holidays at my house, what I would do is I would go out and I would buy the, we might take the call here and I'll get back to the thing there. You know what? I don't think that is a call for here, so I'll just hold that off. Mm. But what I used to do was I would take the macaroni and cheese and I would boil it. Just get like Kraft macaroni and cheese that you buy in the store, make it like that, boil it, put it in a cake pan, and then buy shredded mozzarella cheese, shredded American cheese, and shredded Colby cheese. And then take the three cheeses and spread them on top of the already made Kraft macaroni and cheese, and then bake it in the oven, just enough to melt the cheese over the top of it. People, and you call it three cheese macaroni and cheese. People love that. Because it's different than just the old macaroni and cheese. I was going to give the everything sauce. Okay, here's what I remember from it.
I'm going to write
this. Yeah, this is one that people love, and it's hard to get right. And you know when you have it right, and it's a pretty simple recipe to make. Now, this was the everything sauce.
I don't have a pan.
Okay, let's see. Give me a second.
We got it over here. Yeah, here's a card over here. Yeah, here's a card, and here's a pen.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Now, everybody at home, get your cards and pens. Now, remember, because this is a little difficult here. It depends on how much of the sauce you're making for whoever you're making it for.
This is everything sauce.
Everything sauce for your hot dog if you don't want to go plain. Now, what you do is you take, let's see if this is a call here. Okay, we'll just hold that for a second. You take your ketchup, and you put in a tablespoon of ketchup. And then you take a tablespoon of mustard, and you put in a tablespoon of mustard. Then you take, it all depends on what you want, but about a teaspoon of sugar, and you put that in. Then you dice one onion, and you put half the onion in. And then you mix it all around, and that's how you get the everything sauce. And you'll know what it tastes like when you get it right, but that's pretty much the recipe.
How much onion did you say?
Half the diced onion. If you get a regular sized onion, you dice the onion, and you use about half of it in that recipe. If you want to make a bigger batch, if you're having a cookout or something, just double the recipes.
Yeah.
Go, you know. But it makes a lot when you make it.
Yeah.
But the, and it's Miracle Whip, not real mayonnaise. Or sugar. No Miracle Whip in this one. It's sugar. That's what gives it the sweet taste. Mm-hmm. Takes the tartness out of the mustard.
That's one teaspoon, though, right?
Right, one teaspoon. Mm-hmm. But when you do that all together, it kind of turns into kind of a brownish color, but it's a delicious sauce. It's almost, I think it's almost kind of what you ended up getting at some of the fast food places when it all mixes together, but the sugar changes the taste of it.
Yeah.
So, but that's what used to be on the hot dogs here in town. It was called the everything sauce. At a lot of the towns here. And it was a fairly simple recipe, but nobody could ever get that one.
Mm.
Now, if you're at a party, Mary Ellen, do you like, would you prefer the hot dogs or the hamburgers?
Hot dogs.
Hot dogs? Uh-huh. Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think...
I always like the... I'm hoping it's always good hot dogs.
You know, sometimes you get those hot dogs. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. And they just do not taste very good at all.
Yeah.
I don't know why hot dogs have to be made by a certain company or a certain way, but also the way you make them. Sometimes people microwave them. I don't think the microwave hot dogs taste like boiled hot dogs.
Well, the best way is to cook them on the grill.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the best, yeah.
You know, I've used sometimes the electric skillet
to
cook them because it gives that grill flavor, you know, kind of burns them a little bit.
Me too. What I do is I split them down the middle and then I cook.
Yeah, yeah.
Then flip them and...
Flip them on the skillet.
Yeah.
You know, I like hot dogs, but one thing I never really got into was bologna. When people do fried bologna sandwiches...
Well, I like GNR.
You like that? You do like the GNR?
Yeah.
I could never get into that, but one time somebody told me, and it sounds horrible, but I had one time and it wasn't bad. You take the bologna and you fry it in the pan, and then you take just two pieces of bread and lettuce, just a piece of raw lettuce. You put the lettuce on the bread, and then you smear the other side with peanut butter. And then you put the cooked bologna on the peanut butter. And it's called one of those sandwiches. But it tastes good if you like peanut butter.
Well, I like peanut butter, but I don't like it on anything or anything except, you know, I like it in on celery.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like that.
And, of course, peanut butter and jelly, staple. Do you like peanut butter and jelly?
I have never tasted that.
Never went that way.
Never have. No. It just doesn't sound good to me.
One of my favorite things always was, and I don't do it often, is an English muffin with butter and apple butter.
Oh.
I love that. Now, to me, see, because I'm not a big fan of the coffee cake, but I like that because it's not as sugary, in my opinion. So that makes it kind of interesting. But recipes are a unique thing, and I hope they don't go by the wayside. If you would go into anybody's house, up until the 90s, I believe, you would have seen a recipe box.
Yeah, I still have it.
You still have one?
Yeah, I still have it.
Now, Terry, when you were growing up, was there a recipe box in the house?
No, because my grandmother lived with us for a long time, and she really just did everything from scratch, you know, so she didn't... She did everything from scratch, so she...
Well, that's the thing. When Mary Ellen, when you pull out these things, do you have to get the recipe to make them, or do you just have them in your mind?
Well, I don't make them often enough anymore. I have to look at the recipe.
Right, right.
Yeah. I've got another recipe here if you want to hear it.
Sure.
Because this you can tell by looking at...
Oh, my.
You can tell I'd
it's
made
been
this
made a few times, yeah.
around.
It's Chocolate Coconut Delights.
Oh.
It's a half pound margarine, 1 1/4 cup sugar, 3 heaping tablespoons cocoa, 1 cup sifted flour, 3 eggs, a pinch of salt, and 1 cup chopped nuts, cream shortening, sugar, and salt. Add beaten eggs. Sift flour and cocoa. Add to mixture. Fold in nuts. Bake 20 minutes until done at 350 degrees in a large flat greased pan. Then after it's done, you mix and spread on the hot baked layer 2 cups of flaked coconut and 1 can Eagle Brand condensed milk. And you return it to the oven and bake another 15 minutes. And then after you've done that, you frost immediately with 1 square bitter chocolate and 1 tablespoon butter and 1 cup powdered sugar, and you spread that on. It's very rich, as you can see.
Sounds good, though.
It is. It's very good.
Sounds very good.
If you like coconut.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have found so many people don't like coconut. I love coconut.
Yeah, I do, too, in certain things.
I used to like coconut on... I always see when people buy those big boxes of candy at Christmas, they leave the coconut ones in there.
Uh-huh.
To me, I like the coconut ones. Coconut cream pie is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I still have my mother's recipe book.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Wow.
Now, was your mother a good cook?
Oh, she was a wonderful cook. Yeah, she was as good as you get.
Now, what were some of her famous recipes?
Well, you know something, I've often wondered about this. She had a lot of recipes for dumplings. But we never had dumplings.
She had them all, but never ate them.
And another thing we never would have was spaghetti. And when I was growing up, I went to my girlfriend's house, and I'd never had spaghetti. And they had to teach me how to eat spaghetti.
Really?
Yeah.
My. So spaghetti was not a staple.
No.
What kind of things would she cook?
Oh, she had her own recipe for chocolate pie. And then when she got up in years, she couldn't remember how she'd made it. And but it was really good. And she made all kinds of pies. She made the best custard pie, I think, of anybody I've ever seen. And we always had such good meals, you know.
Now, custard pie, now that a lot of people, kind of like sweet potato pie, that was wasn't that a regional dish? Custard? Or was that all around?
I think it was all around.
Was it all around? Uh-huh. Because I know sweet potato people kind of associate with the South, even though we had it in the North. Because there is no sweet potato in sweet potato pie, is there?
I don't know. I've never had a sweet potato. I've never made one.
Have you ever had a sweet potato pie, Terry? It's kind of like pumpkin looking. I've seen
one
of them.
Yeah, but I thought it was sweet potato.
I didn't know you put actual sweet potatoes in it.
Well, what would be in it?
I thought it was some kind of pumpkin-y custard.
Pumpkin-y mixture?
Yeah.
Well, I always thought it was sweet potatoes. I don't know.
It could be sweet. Yeah. It might be. But I know that it does have a similar look of pumpkin pies. I mean, you can easily confuse a pumpkin pie and a sweet potato pie.
Yeah, right.
But pumpkin pies, now there is a lost art, because everybody now goes and gets the pumpkin pies from the store because mm-hmm. it's so easy. But boy, people who used to make the homemade pumpkin pies and put the certain spices in those, what is that spice you put in pumpkin pie?
Well, you put in cinnamon and you put in... Well, there's a pumpkin pie spice that you can get that has all of them in it, but it's nutmeg and cinnamon, and what's the other one?
Can you put paprika in there?
No paprika.
No paprika.
No. Somebody will probably call us up and tell us.
Yeah. What is the spice you put it, if you want to make a homemade pumpkin pie?
Is it nutmeg?
We covered nutmeg.
Yeah.
But there's another spice that goes in if you're making them. Now, you don't make it out of a pumpkin, though, do you? I mean,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Pumpkin and all.
Mm-hmm.
It's the outside of the pumpkin, right?
No, it's the inside.
Mm.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's your inside. They used to bake them they'd bake the pumpkin in the oven back years ago and then take it out and then put all the mixture in it, you know, a couple of eggs and your spices and I suppose there was milk in it. I can't really remember. Yeah.
So all that stuff we throw away when we're carving a pumpkin mm-hmm. went into pumpkin pie.
No, not the rind.
Not the rind.
No, the inside.
The stuff around it.
Oh, you're talking about when you make the...
The filling.
Yeah, you're talking about... When you throw away the inside.
Right.
Yeah, that's what goes into the pie.
That's what goes, so the stuff that we throw away is what goes into the pie.
Yeah, but you don't put the seeds, you know, no seed. You take those seeds out, but it's the, in between the seeds and the rind that you use, you know.
But now, aren't most pumpkin pies in stores, wouldn't they be manufactured?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think they even use pumpkins?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I always wonder about manufactured stuff.
Oh, you think it's something besides pumpkin? No, it's pumpkin.
You think it's pumpkin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what is the shelf life of some of these pies? I mean, if you make a dessert, homemade, and you say you don't eat it all, how long should you let it stay in the refrigerator?
Well, I would not put a pumpkin pie in the refrigerator. I think a couple of days is about it, you know.
Is that... Because I know the eggs are the things that start to go bad.
Yeah, but it's baked.
Right.
See, it's baked.
But once you bake it, you
it's
don't have
fine.
To worry about
no,
that.
No, you don't have to worry about the eggs. Now, there's a French silk chocolate pie that is not baked, and it has eggs in it. And I would probably keep that in the refrigerator. Yeah.
Now, I know a lot of cookies. Are there any cookies that you like to make?
Yes, I've got a lot of cookie recipes. I didn't bring those with me, but there's a soft oatmeal cookie. The name of it's Jumbo Cookies. I make those every once in a while. They make a big recipe.
You know the thing that I love oatmeal cookies, but I don't like them from the store.
Yeah.
Because they're always hard.
Yeah, I like a soft cookie.
I like a soft, mushy oatmeal cookie.
What about those no-bake cookies? Are those, I mean...
Oh, those are good. Yeah, I used to make those a lot. Sometimes they have dates in them. Yeah, you make them in your electric fry pan, and those are really good. Sometimes they have coconut, too. Mm. Yeah.
Now, it's easy to mess those up, though. Because they have to set up right.
Yeah.
If you don't use just the right amount of something, they'll just be a pile of oatmeal and chocolate.
Uh-huh.
I've seen people screw those up time
Have
after.
You really?
Oh yeah. That to me that seems to be the most mistakenly cooked cookie.
Well, these jumbo, they did not have oatmeal in them. They were just a seasoned cookie with, they had nuts. Sometimes I put raisins in them. Yeah. It's a soft cookie.
When it comes to a cookie, how do you really know when it's done?
Well, you don't want to overbake them.
That's the problem.
Yes, right. You want to, well, yeah, I've gotten these that are already mixed up that you just bake. And the other day it said how long to have it in the oven at what degree. I did it just like they said, and I thought, well, those aren't done. And I bet I left them in another few minutes, and they were overbaked. But really? They didn't seem to be when I was looking at them. You know, I pressed the top and see if they were done, and they didn't seem to be. But, boy, they were overbaked. I said, you have to just pay attention to what they tell you.
Now, were those the ones you buy and then you cut?
Yes.
Yeah, they don't look done.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't look like they've risen at
all. That's right.
Yeah.
But they are, for some reason, they are done.
Yeah.
There's a whole different world. And desserts.
Yeah. It's a whole different world.
It's a whole different thing. People don't, when people think scratch now, they think, okay, well, I go out and I buy the pre-conditioned cookie because I baked it at home. That is scratched. They don't know about milk and butter and flowers, where this cookie came from.
Yeah.
Why do you think this has come to this? No time?
Well, people don't want to be bothered with all that. You know, I used to make, you talk about dessert that I like, it's angel food cake.
Well, that's good.
I should have mentioned that earlier. But we used to do that from scratch.
Really?
Yes. And you talk about that. That was an exercise.
Yeah.
And then today, all you have to do is you don't dare beat it more than 1 minute with your mix master, and that thing is beautiful when it comes out of the oven.
You know what makes me so, there's one thing that is complicated to me, and I'll get to in a second, but you know what I hate when I have my mixer, because I just have one of the handheld,
mm-hmm.
So I get that thing out. And I hate sometimes when I'm in a hurry and I'm doing the thing, and I'll hit the button and it's got that automatic release and go flying into the thing.
I've seen that happen before.
Why do they put that automatic release
so close to you? Yeah,
so close to it. And you think, oh man, I screwed up.
Right.
Then you have to pick them up.
They're messed
dripping
up,
and everything. Yeah,
yeah.
It looks like you're holding nuclear secrets.
Exactly.
You don't want to mess this thing up. Yeah. No, I'll tell you the thing that I learned how to cook this year was deviled eggs.
Oh, now that's an art.
Oh, it is.
I mean, you can eat a deviled egg, and then you can eat a deviled egg. I mean, it's got to be flavored right.
Now, here's what I did.
Yeah.
Now this is, maybe not for everybody, but I'll tell you, here was the hard part in this whole thing. You boil the eggs.
Yeah.
And then you take them, but you've got to let them cool.
Yeah.
Which really annoys you if you really want deviled eggs, because now you have to let them cool for like an hour.
Yeah.
And then you have to crack the egg. Now, this is where I get into trouble. Because how do you get that egg off there? The eggshell.
Well, sometimes it's easier than others,
Because you ruin the thing that you need to keep.
Well, you hit the top where there's a little place of air up in the top of the egg. You hit the big end of the egg, and you start from there.
So if you hit the big end of the egg on the counter, it'll crack the egg.
Yeah, and then you start peeling from there, and then you don't destroy the major part.
Oh, I had. I tell you, I probably made 2 dozen deviled eggs that day, and maybe 7 survived. 7 looked like deviled eggs.
Well, now, let me hear, how did you do the egg yolk?
The egg yolk.
Uh-huh.
I take the egg yolk, and I put it in a bowl, and then I take the mustard, and I put it in the bowl, and then I put the mirror. Well, it would probably be, let me see here, for a dozen eggs, I probably used 2 teaspoons of mustard. I used 2 tablespoons of Miracle Whip. And I did use artificial sweetener. So I used, would have been 3 teaspoons of Splenda. And I stirred it all up and tasted okay.
Did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like any sweetener in my deviled eggs.
You don't like the sweetness to it?
No, but I like a little bit of vinegar. But I usually don't put mustard in. I usually put in a little vinegar and to give it that tang, you know.
So just vinegar and salad dressing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Salad dressing does give it a little bit of a sweet taste, but I just put a little bit of sugar in there because it just has that little sweet. And then people put the paprika on the top of it.
And, you know, my paprika doesn't look, it looks dark red, and I don't like the way it looks. I thought, I like to see a real bright red paprika. I don't know whether it's old or whether I ought to get another can or what, but I don't like the way it looks.
Yeah. Now, George Kasotis, a couple Christmases ago, taught me how to make baklava.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's a complicated little process.
And that's not good for us that are diabetic.
No, that baklava can be bad. But he did the baklava, what was it, the baklava sundae?
Sunday.
Yeah, but you once you get your baklava made, you put the baklava in the bottom of the bowl. I don't think chocolate ice cream would be good, so you got to use vanilla. Just take a scoop of vanilla ice cream, put it on top of the warm baklava, and then put honey on top of the ice cream. That is very good because it almost tastes like a pie, the baklava part of it. And it's very good.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've made that, but you know what I've found is people don't like baklava.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have an aversion.
I'm just not wild about it, no.
Yeah, a lot of people think it has a different kind of a taste.
Yeah.
But to me, it reminds me of the fried ice cream that Chi-Chi's used to have. And that used to be my favorite dessert at a place you would go and eat.
Really?
And I still don't understand how they did that.
Yeah.
Because you don't really fry the ice cream.
No.
You couldn't. It would melt.
Yeah.
That's just some kind of a dough covering. It's kind of like an elephant ear.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, those are something I never see people make it, like elephant ears or sugar waffles.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's got the space.
No.
Homemade onion rings are good.
Have you made those?
Oh, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah, that's easy, though, because you get that Drake sauce with the swan on it.
Oh, yeah.
And then all you have to do is just cut an onion, you know, just take your onion strip and put the Drake on it. I think you put a little bit of water or milk in the Drake to make it pasty, and then you just drop it in the boiling vegetable oil, and that's an onion ring.
Uh-huh.
So that's not bad.
Yeah.
And that tastes 10 times better than those processed onion rings you buy in the store.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So I've done that. And homemade donuts. Have you ever done the donuts where you just take Pillsbury rolls? But you take them out and then you cut out the center and you drop them in the.
No, I've never done that.
Those are good.
Are they?
Those are delicious warm.
Uh-huh.
Now you take the roll mix you get with Pillsbury. You cut out the center of it.
Mm-hmm.
You drop the donut into the boiling vegetable oil. Get it brown. Take it out and put some powdered sugar on the top. That's very good. Those are addicting.
I bet.
Have you ever had those that way, Terry? The donuts?
Not homemade like that, but
well, we have filled 2 hours today with no problem.
What about beignets? Have you ever had a beignet?
No, what's a beignet?
It's down in New Orleans. It's kind of like what you just said. It's powdered sugar on a warm bread roll. Yeah.
You know, in New Orleans, they have so many different kinds of alcohol. And I noticed they cook with a lot of alcohol.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I've started to notice, I went to people's houses and they put their bratwurst in beer.
Yeah.
They boil it. I never have done that.
Yeah,
but
I haven't either.
I guess that's the way it goes. But this has been fun.
Yeah, it has.
You know, cooking is an art, just like anything else.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Mary Ellen Withrow, for coming in today, 40th Treasurer of the United States, talking about recipes that she has shared throughout her career. And we could do this another show on this as holiday time comes closer.
Yeah.
Mary Ellen, it's always a pleasure to have you in. I thank you so much for coming.
Well, you're welcome, Scott. I enjoy it tremendously.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We will be back tomorrow, but stay tuned to WWGH Radio for much more programming.
Do you ever think of an epitaph?
Yeah, I have. A couple of them.
One would be, Here Lies Billy Done His Damage. The other one I think might be good is The Caller There.
To the First Lady of Stand-Up Comedy, Phyllis Diller.
But it was kind of interesting because Phyllis Diller kind of always played on this, hey, I'm ugly image.
Well, baby, let me like this. I used to get so much revenue for playing witches.